This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On The Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
For more than a year, very few people have been to a movie theater. But that doesn't stop awards season. The Golden Globes and the various Guild Awards have all been doled out, and now it's time for the prizes that really matter the most. I'm talking, of course, about the Brody Awards. See, the Golden Globes are decided by movie journalists, a whole lot of them. And the Oscars are voted on by members of the Academy, more than 9,000 of them. But the Brody Awards, they honor the best and brightest of the year according to just one person, one voice, one critic, someone who sees more films from around the world than anyone I know, Richard Brody. Richard is the film critic for NewYorker.com, and joining me, as always, for the Brody Awards is staff writer Alexandra Schwartz. Alex, hi.
Hi, David.
So, Richard, it has been about 13 or so months where we haven't been able to enter a movie theater, or I haven't entered one, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. What's it been like for you as the most constant moviegoer I know?
Well, in a certain way, it hasn't been radically different, because even before lockdown, 90% of the movies I was seeing at home. The number of press screenings that are held in theaters has decreased because it's expensive to hold them and very cheap to send out a screening link. So in the most immediate practical sense, other than the fact that I never go out, it hasn't been radically different for the watching of movies. For the world of movies, it has been completely different.
How so?
Well, partly because there have been more or less no blockbusters. The kinds of movies that were expected to make tons of money in theaters have simply been held over. And therefore, the year was largely devoted to a different kind of movie.
Alex, how has the year of watching movies been for you?
Well, I have had a very indulgent year of watching movies because I have tried less to keep up with what is new, although I do think I've done a pretty good job of that. But I've just, if I wanted to go back to the 40s and 50s, I did it without a care. And it's been very pleasant, though I do miss the experience of turning to someone in the movie theater and sort of saying, right, which has become, as I age, has become more of my thing. I can't really resist the nudge to the stranger next to me. And I think that's going to come back strong for me and probably for a lot of us when we get back into the theaters.
Now, we're all gathered here together because of the Oscars. And a year ago, Richard, you wrote about the Oscars in a piece called The Fossilized 2020 Oscar Nominations. You were unimpressed with the movies that the Academy chose to honor. How do you feel about it this year?
This year, things are a little bit better in some ways, in some very important ways. The Academy has been aware for years that it's had a serious problem with diversity among its membership. And in 2020 in particular, they accelerated the process of welcoming new members. Women, people of color, people from around the world. And this year's nominations reflect that, with movies like Minari, Nomadland. I wouldn't say that the movies are artistically much better this year than usual, but what's missing this year, fortunately, are atrocities like Joker or Jojo Rabbit or Green Book.
Okay, let's get down to business. The 2021 Brody Awards. We're going to start with the acting awards. First up, Best Actress in a Leading Role. Alex, the Brody nominees, please.
The nominees are Evan Rachel Wood, Kajillionaire. Sydney Flanagan, Never, Rarely, Sometimes, Always. Elizabeth Moss, Shirley. Rada Blank, The 40-Year-Old Virgin. Natalia Dyer, Yes, God, Yes. And the winner is?
The winner is Elizabeth Moss, playing Shirley Jackson in Josephine Decker's biopic of her, Shirley.
If that phone rings one more time during dinner, Stanley, so help me, I'm going to take care of it myself.
I'm well within the bounds of our agreement.
Our agreement didn't include sluts interrupting my dinner.
Elizabeth Moss is playing the novelist Shirley Jackson, most famous, of course, for the short story The Lottery. And it's set largely in her home with her husband, Stanley Edgar Hyman, played by Michael Stuhlbarg. And it's a drama about the flaying, agonizing tension in the marriage that is both creative and destructive. It's an extraordinary film, and it wouldn't exist without a performance of this ferocity. And as we heard in this clip, in the role of Shirley Jackson, Elizabeth Moss wields the writer's one-liners like a stiletto knife.
Now, Elizabeth Moss is not on the list of Oscar nominees. Alex, are there any performances that the Academy recognized that you particularly love this year?
I think it's actually a really strong year in the Best Actress category, and there were a number of performances I liked a lot. I really liked Carey Mulligan in Promising Young Woman. She plays steely derangement better than I've almost ever seen. But the performance that I was really drawn to that I actually hope the Academy does not recognize is Frances McDormand's in Nomadland. I say that only because Frances McDormand has already won two Oscars, most recently in 2018. She won for Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, a film that I did not particularly care for, and a film in which she gave a really outward performance of rage. In Nomadland, which is directed by Chloe Zhao, she has a very inward, subtle character to play, a woman whose whole life has come apart and who's decided to become a nomad in the American West, living out of her van. And McDormand is playing opposite real people who were acting for the first time. And I think the combination of McDormand's really intense inwardness and those characters just articulating their lives on screen is profound.
I write letters to her.
Oh, smart man. Very good. Letters are good.
I just can't ever write about anything I reckon she'd care about.
You ever try poems?
Can't say I have. I don't think I know one. You know any?
How about one that I used for my wedding vow when I was not much older than you?
Oh, right on. Mind if I hear it?
Okay, let's see if I can remember it. Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more temperate. Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May, and summer's lease hath all too short a date.
Sometimes. All right, Richard, let's go on to Best Actor. And the nominees are, Alex?
Shay Cole for Alex Weedle. Delroy Lindo to Five Bloods. Bill Murray on the Rocks. Sean Parks, Mangrove. Vlad Ivanov, The Whistlers. And the winner is?
The winner is Delroy Lindo for The Five Bloods.
I will choose when and how I die. You dig? You couldn't kill me then with three tours. You showing the fuck can't kill me now. Right on.
Now, Richard, Delroy Lindo wasn't even nominated for an Oscar, which a lot of people would call maybe the biggest snub of the year. How do you explain it?
Unfortunately, in the realm of Oscarland, there's no explanation. It could be that they perceived Delroy Lindo's role as a relatively small one because it's an ensemble, very much an ensemble film. He's one of a group of four Black Vietnam War veterans who returned to Vietnam with two purposes in mind. One, to find the remains of their former commanding officer, played by, in flashbacks, by Chadwick Boseman. And the other, to recover a trove of gold that they'd hidden before they left. So it's very much an ensemble piece, and it could be that this is the reason why he wasn't nominated as Best Actor.
You know, conventional wisdom is that Chadwick Boseman, who died last year, is a very strong contender to win Best Actor for his performance in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. How do you both rate Boseman's chances, and what do you make of Ma Rainey's Black Bottom as a film?
I think his chances are really good. You know, it's a tragedy that we lost Chadwick Boseman when we did, and I think the Academy will recognize that and will want to honor him for that.
I'm talking about being satisfied with a bone somebody done throwed you. That's what's the matter with y'all. You're satisfied sitting in one place. As soon as I get my band together and record them songs Mr. Sturdivant done told me I can make, I'm going to be like Ma and tell the white man just what he can do.
Having said that, I have to say that to me, his performance in Ma Rainey was a stage performance, and it brought some pleasures of a stage performance. I miss going to the theater quite a bit, but he's giving a performance to the back of the house. And in some ways, that's very fitting for the role he plays in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. He's playing Levy, a musician who has outsized ambitions and feels that he is bigger than the world that he's confined to. But as the movie went on, I thought to myself, why am I having a reaction that is impressed rather than emotionally moved? And I think that's the answer. I think the answer is that the direction didn't allow intimacy with the performance. And so I was impressed by the performance without feeling it really where I think it should have hit.
Now we've come to the main event, Best Picture. Alex, the nominees, please.
The nominees for the Best Picture of the 2021 Brodies are The Five Bloods, The Whistlers, Dick Johnson is Dead, An Easy Girl, Cajillionaire, Never, Rarely, Sometimes, Always, On the Rocks, Lover's Rock, Time, and City Hall. And the winner is...
The winner is Cajillionaire, written and directed by Miranda July.
Can't you say... We don't call you hun, or sweetheart, or baby. We don't wrap up little birthday presents with ribbons.
I don't want...
Yes, that's what you want. And what else? Hmm? Me to put you on my abdomen? Make pancakes?
Me to do a little dance?
Yes. You want us to be false, fakey people.
Cajillionaire is such a distinctive, such an unusual film that to describe it is more like to translate it. It's a family of scammers, played by Richard Jenkins and Deborah Winger, who raised their daughter, Evan Rachel Wood, to be a scammer. And she's a virtuosic scammer, a master of thievery and deception, who has been raised coldly and lovelessly. And in the course of some new scams, she discovers the narrowness of the life she's been leading. She discovers the emotional deprivation she's experienced. And the drama involves her fight for self-liberation.
And was Miranda July a director that had been very much in your sights before?
Oh, very much so. Her film The Future from 2012 was my pick for the best film of that year, too. I think she's one of the most comprehensively creative directors working now.
Richard, you keep track of what's going on in Hollywood, what's being filmed, what directors are working on what. Are there any delayed films or films that are in the offing that you're especially looking forward to?
Well, especially Wes Anderson's film, Wes Anderson's New Yorker-based film, The French Dispatch, in which Bill Murray plays a Harold Ross-like character, like the founder of The New Yorker, and which is set mainly in France. I'm especially looking forward to a film starring Adam Driver and Marion Cotillard called Annette, with music by Sparks and directed by Leos Carax. It's a musical.
Adam Driver sings?
Adam Driver sings 95% of the dialogue in this film is supposedly sung.
I'm getting a ticket. Now I'm getting a ticket. Anything else?
I confess, I'm always interested in seeing a new James Bond film. I think that I always wish that James Bond films were directed by directors who don't make James Bond films. I'd like to see, you know, Paul Thomas Anderson's James Bond film. I'd like to see Spike Lee's James Bond film. I'd like to see Sofia Coppola's James Bond film. I don't think that's going to happen
very soon. Let's pause on that. Sofia Coppola's James Bond film? What would happen?
Very little.
Very little?
Well, thank you, Richard. Thank you for the 2021 Brodies. It is always an honor to be with you at this time of year. Alex Schwartz, who writes about theater and books and much else, thank you so much. See you next year.
Thank you.
David, Alex, good to see you. Thanks very much.
If you want to read Richard Brody on the films of Eric Rohmer or Godzilla vs. Kong, it's all at newyorker.com. Alex Schwartz writes about theater and books and much more.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.